morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you this morning. A special welcome to our visitors. We're happy that you're here. And we hope that this will be a very meaningful worship for you. I look forward to hearing the bells. They did a fantastic job at the Vespers. And we are very blessed to have them. So we will let you do your thing. Thank you. bell ringers that that was not an easy piece to play. Let us continue then with the lighting of the candles and the Advent wreath. And we will sing verses 1 and 2 of Light One Candle. Secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please stand as you're able. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the church and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Once in Royal David City.
Yeah.
Church of Christ, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord, the heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, give to all people of the world knowledge of your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's first reading comes from the third chapter of Malachi, beginning with the first verse. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is saying, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like the fuller's soap. He will sit as refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read Psalm Luke 1, 68 to 79 responsively. Blessed are you, Lord, O the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free.
You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David.
Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
To show mercy to our forebears, and to remember your holy covenant.
This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies.
Free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life.
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us.
To shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Today's second reading comes from the first chapter of Philippians, beginning with the third verse. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to the Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill will be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." That's the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'm going to invite the kids to come up. We have a nice crowd because we have a job to do today. I know a couple of you already have experience with this. Maybe all of you do, right? Did you see the Christmas tree?
Yeah.
You notice something missing there?
A cross.
You think the cross needs to go up there? What do you think? There's something else that ought to go on that? Should we just leave it like that?
Car?
Ornaments.
Oh, the ornaments. I'm sorry. Yes, ornaments. Well, we have, see the ones that are up there? Those are called chrismons. And chrismons all tell a little bit of a story. Up there, there's a crown. What would the crown tell us?
Jesus.
Jesus is the, what is he? He's
the king.
The king. He's the king, yeah. And then there's one that has an X and an R. Those are the Greek letters for Christ. Jesus Christ. And then you have one with a cross in it. And it looks like a little gold halo. What would that symbolize?
An angel.
An angel, maybe. Yeah. An angel came and told the people about Jesus, didn't they? And then they have one over here with a rose on it. Who do you think is the rose? Jesus might be a rose, too. Kind of like a rose. Something special. Yeah. Well, we have some more. I need a volunteer. Elizabeth, why don't you, would you go to the back? Because they've got some more Christmas back. Do you want to bring that up? All right. We're going to need a bunch more volunteers. Okay. Okay. Bring that up. And can you put that on the tree? All right. And then why don't you go up and go get one, too? Okay. We might need some help. What's that one symbolize?
The cross.
And who would that symbolize? Jesus on the cross, yeah. And this one here has, oh, another rose. All right, we may need some help up here. But I think they'll stay. Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you get one, Kelly?
Yeah,
we need
help.
Yeah, get them up there high. All right. Okay, we got some tall ones. All right. Okay, what's this one here? Yeah. What's that one? What's that look like? A fish. Yeah. The name of a fish in Greek is Ichthus, which is Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. We have another one. Somebody go get another one? Okay, go get one. Yeah, why don't you all go get one? I think they've got enough. I'm not sure how many they've got. We'll keep you guys busy. All right. Fantastic. All right. Super. What's that one? A star, and what's that tell us about? Where do we hear about a star in the story of Jesus? Yeah, where he was born, they had a star. And there's, oh boy, we're getting them on real fast now. I see one. What's this one here? With the, it looks like a T with a, it looks like a snake. Oh. It's possible we might need some rearranging. Okay, there goes. I put it in the wrong place. Put it over here. Whoa, these guys are.
They have experience.
They do. Yeah.
Well, that's a good spot for that one.
Yeah. Very good. Maybe.
Good job, James.
Oh, we got more coming. Night and they were decorating a tree and there were lots of them. And I was told this morning, Ben told me this morning they still aren't done. Alright. Well,
You know, while they're doing that, I wanted to make a comment. I forgot to say something about the live greens around the Advent candles. And the other last Sunday, I came in, and the smell of the greenery was so fragrant. It was beautiful. Down south, they use artificial. That doesn't have a good smell. I like the real stuff, and these are real crispons, too. They are absolutely beautiful. When we talked about this, I was thinking one at a time, but we'd be here all day. It's good to see some tall people helping out here. Did you get one up there? Which one did you put? Over there. Okay. Oh, you got that one up. Okay. Can you put it back? Super. Thank you, Ben. All right. You guys can have a seat when we get ready. Super, super, super. Thank you all, and on behalf of the worship committee and the people who set up all the decorations, thank you. It got done. All right. Where do you go from there? Years ago, probably about 50 years ago, there was a highway between Rockford, Illinois, and Galena, and it was really a rough, dangerous road. In fact, it was so dangerous that a group of citizens wanted the state to do something about it, so much that they put up a big billboard on just before you got onto this highway. I think it was Highway 20. The big billboard that said, "Caution, Highway 20 may be hazardous to your health." And it was right. It was, because the road was all broken up all the way to the end of that highway. There were potholes, and there was a narrow road, so that any time you met a truck, and there were lots of trucks on that road, you had to go over to the edge as far as you could, but there wasn't a what do you call it? Yeah, one of those. Yeah. And so it was just terribly dangerous. Well, when you got to the end of that highway, there was another big billboard that they put up that said, "Congratulations, you just survived Highway 20. Now, the thing was, when we went back the other way, we found out that those were two-sided signs, because on the back side of the one that congratulated you, there was one that said, "Caution, you're going on Highway 20 and it's dangerous." Well, anybody who's worked with roads or been around roads knows how dangerous it can be to prepare those roads and how long it takes. I was talking to Travis, who worked on some of the viaducts and the bridges in Albuquerque. I think he said something more than 20 of those had to be designed and built there. We had a road finished in front of our house when we were in Springfield, Missouri, and it took 3 months just to prepare the road. Roads were difficult to build after that. Well, in our readings today, we hear from two prophets. One of them is Isaiah, who talks about building a highway for our God. And then we hear about Malachi. Malachi tells us that God is preparing a messenger who will come. But he puts up a caution sign. It doesn't actually say caution. It just says, who can endure? Who can stand when this comes? This messenger is going to bring a message that will be like a refiner's fire. If you've ever seen silver or gold being melted down, and you see the dross, the impurities rise, and they cast those off. That's what he's talking about. That's how that
coming is going to be for all humankind. And he says it's like Fuller's soap. How many of you have used Fuller's soap? A few? Yeah, my grandparents, my grandmother did. But it's really, really caustic stuff that they could use to clean out the impurities in cloth. In fact, Malachi at one point says, Israel, you are a dirty rag, a filthy rag. You are a cesspool that needs to be cleaned out. And as much as you want this Messiah, this messenger to come, before he comes, that kind of cleansing is going to take place. Paul, in our second reading, says he is so thrilled with the people of Philippi because they have done some of that self-cleansing themselves. He gives God thanks for them, and he prays that when the day of the Lord comes, when messenger arrives, they will be pure and blameless in the sight of God. Now, in our gospel today, we read about Isaiah telling about how the one who is coming will be the messenger of the covenant. He will come, and he's writing to people who are in exile in Babylon. They have been there for 50 years. Many of the old-timers have died off, and all that are left are the children and grandchildren who are still longing, wanting to go home to Jerusalem, wanting to see their homeland again. And Isaiah writes a word of encouragement. It's both a word of encouragement and a word of caution. But the word of encouragement is that God is sending a messenger who will make the valley, raise the valleys up and put down mountains. Because what they are remembering, or their parents have told them, is that the way to Babylon was very dangerous. It needed a caution sign because many of them died on the way. It was a rough road. It was a crooked road. It was not a smooth road. It was a difficult road. And now they wanted to go home. And Isaiah says, and God will make that road flat and smooth and easy for you. But Isaiah is writing about more than just a physical road. He's writing about the road of their heart. And if you've ever watched a hill being carved away, sometimes the hill of our sins, the valley of our depressions, need to be straightened out and smooth. I wrote a song some years ago with that theme, because it's the theme that comes to us through John the Baptist. There's a voice in the wilderness crying. There's a voice in the wasteland proclaiming that the Father in heaven has heard us, that the one he has promised is here. Let us turn from the crooked and sinful to repent and return to the Lord. Let us turn from the way that the world leads to return to the way of the Lord. I come preaching and teaching repentance, and I wash you with water to cleanse you. But the one I proclaim comes with power to baptize with God's holy fire. Let us turn from the crooked and sinful to repent and return to the Lord. Let us turn from the way that the world leads to return to the way of the Lord. There's a voice in the wilderness crying. There's a voice in the wasteland proclaiming that the Father in heaven has heard us, that the one he has promised is here. Let us turn from the crooked and sinful to repent and return to the Lord. Let us turn from the way that the world leads to return to the way of the Lord. many people, many leaders of the world who have this exalted opinion of themselves. Like during the medieval period, the Medici family, who built palaces and amassed fortunes at the cost of the little guy, the peasant, and wanted to hold them down so that they could get wealthier and wealthier. And yet, it wasn't they who made such a change in the world. It was a little boy by the name of Christopher sitting on a dock watching and looking across the ocean who opened the world to a new world. Christopher Columbus. And we could go through history and see the same thing happening because, you know, Herod was in this nice palace and the beautiful robes and having all the power, thinking he had more power than anybody there in Galilee. And yet, it was the guy he had beheaded who made the greatest change in the world when he announced the coming of the Son of God. So here we are in a world that seems so different and yet in so many ways is so much alike. Richard Foster has written a book called Celebration of Discipline. We have a copy in the library, so if you want to grab that, it's good. It talks about the various Christian disciplines. The first one that he talks about is meditation and the importance of giving ourselves time to meditate and listen for the voice of God. He said there are three things that our adversary capitalizes on and tries to foist upon us. One is noise, another is hurry, and the third is crowds. And he said if he can get those across to us, he's happy. And he celebrates. Because you see, we remember that John the Baptist spent much time in the wilderness meditating, and that's when he heard the voice of God calling him to introduce the Messiah. And is it any wonder that Jesus went off by himself many times where the quiet was to meditate and listen and commune with his Father? If we think about it, the world is full of noise. We hear bells ringing, some of them not. We hear whistles being blown. We hear multitudes of commercials telling us to buy, buy, buy. But Jesus tells us to prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts. The world wants us to hurry, hurry, hurry. Go, go, go. You got to get a lot done. In fact, I read someplace a cartoon about a young guy who was complaining that God had given him so much to do and he was so far behind he'd never die. Well, wish him luck. But that's the world's word. Hurry, 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 go, go, go. But the Word of God tells us to slow down and remember the reason for this season. The world wants us not only to make noise and to be in a hurry, but to join the crowd. Go to the malls. Go to the shopping centers. Spend, spend, spend. Because the crowds will make you happy. But Jesus says instead, calm yourself. Come to the still small point where every day, each day, we could take a few minutes to calm our minds and our hearts so that we can actually hear what Jesus has to say to us. Because the word Jesus gives us today and every day is, come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest. come to me and receive me, and you will never hunger or thirst again. And that's the good news that we have today. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. coming of Christ, we pray and hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Prepare your church to share the good news,
life-giving God. Put your word within us and dwell among us. Send us out to proclaim the mercy and salvation that abides in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protect the creation, life-giving God. Sustain the mountains and hills. Restore the rivers. Give us wisdom and compassion to care for wilderness areas and urban ecosystems. Move us to care for your creation in all its forms and richness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Purify the hearts of all people, life-giving God. Remove the hate that lives within us and among us. Mold us into peacemakers. Raise up leaders rooted in your love and fed by your word. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Comfort all who are hurt, life-giving God. Wrap them in your tender care. Remember the forgotten and send us out to share your love with them. Be with the wandering, the worried, and the woeful, especially those we mentioned before you now. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bless this congregation, life-giving God. Give strength and joy to worship leaders, musicians, and our altar guild as they prepare the way for the celebration of Christ's child coming among us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember the generations who have shown us your faithfulness, life-giving God. Shine your light on those who mourn and prepare us for that day when we will see you face to face. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you these prayers and those unspoken in the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Down that we may have light. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy,
for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith, as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We invite all who believe in the presence of Christ to join us at his table.
Spirit of our Lord Jesus, be with you.
Rises, you may. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ in his precious blood strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Food through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's go tell it on the mountain.
Oh, tell it on the mountain.
Just a few announcements. Some of them are in the bulletin. Most of them are in the bulletin. But today, children are going to stay around, and they're going to practice for a Christmas program for us. And we're happy about that. Today, also at 1:30, the church council will come back for a council meeting, a monthly council meeting. And on Wednesday, St. Luke's women are having a potluck with Union Congregational. Anything that we need to warn people about?
You're going to accompany us while we sing some Christmas songs.
That would be a warning. Okay, yeah. We'll be singing a bunch of Christmas carols, too.
If it's at 12 o'clock, so if you can't, if you have to work, you're welcome to come and not bring anything. Just join us for lunch that day.
Fantastic invitation. Yes,
Pastor. Thursday, our bells are going to play some Christmas hymns at Amy Holt at 5:30. And the Methodist choir, part of them are joining us in doing that. So if you'd like to, come and join us. We have a couple people there that are our members. So come and join us at 5:30. It'll just be a half hour, 45 minutes max. And so there won't be any practices on Wednesday.
Okay. Any other announcements? Yes, Lois.
I'd like to just encourage people to look at the bulletin board in there. There's a little history about the Christmas.
Oh, good.
When they were started in 1968. These weren't me. But.
Super. Yeah, there's some beautiful ones there. Okay, other announcements? Well, then let's go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.